I invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to read the first 10 verses. I want to speak to you on the subject of the high cost of low living. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Let's pray. Father, as we consider this passage, Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom, open my understanding, and speak through me. Just remove me out of the way, Lord, and anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and just use me as your instrument. Open the understanding of these, your people, that we might all grasp your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, every rule, every law, every ordinance that God has ever made was for the benefit of his people. It was to protect his people. It was to cause his people to be safe and secure and happy. And all those things are dependent upon whether or not we obey God. And it costs us dearly when we don't. And so what we want to look at this morning is the high cost of low living. So many times we think we can sin and get by with it, that God really doesn't care. We hear a lot about liberty today. People say, well, I've got liberty in Christ. I can do this, I can do that, I can do all these things because I have liberty in Christ. Let me tell you something. Whatever was wrong before you got liberty is still wrong. Liberty is the freedom from the condemnation of sin. Liberty keeps me from losing my salvation when I sin. That's all it does. It does not make sin okay to do. And so must be very careful that we not get caught up in the idea that liberty gives us a freedom or a license to sin. Sin has a terrible consequence, not only in our life, but in the lives of all the people that we influence. And so it is very necessary for us to understand that what we do today is programming our tomorrow. What we do today will determine how life is for us in the future. Every time we sin, it changes who we are a little bit. And we become different. And we look at things differently. And so we need to be very careful as we consider how we want to live our lives. First, let's look at the right way. He says in verses 1 through 3, listen to this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Now notice here, he says, right now are we the sons of God. Now, we don't yet know exactly what that's going to be when we get to heaven, but we're going to be like him. And so if we're going to live the right way on earth, we need to be more and more and more like Jesus Christ. And in order to be like Jesus Christ, we're going to have to choose those things that he would choose. We're going to have to do according to what he tells us to do. It's like we talked about last week. We're either going to be giving our mind over to the devil to control us, or we're going to be giving our mind over to Christ. And the Bible says that we are to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we have the opportunity to purify our life simply by obedience to the commands of the Lord as he tells us step by step what we ought to do. If you purpose in your heart to live for Jesus, you purpose in your heart never, ever to sin again, you will never sin without the Lord telling you that it's wrong for you to do that. And whenever he tells you that it's wrong for you to do that, don't do it. You know, life is pretty simple when you get right down to it. The Bible says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. There is plenty of grace to overcome every sin in our life if we choose to accept that grace and to let the mind of Christ control us. And you say, well, how do I let the mind of Christ control me? It is a very simple thing. It is when you start to consider a thing and the devil says, do it, and the Lord says, don't do it, then you let the mind of Christ control. If you say, well, wait, what's wrong with it? I have freedom. I have liberty. I can do this. God will forgive me. I'll repent after I get done doing it. You're then led by the devil. And the devil is your controller, and he hates you. Mark it down. The devil hates every Christian because he hates the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will destroy you if he can. He's not your friend. Look at what he did to Eve. There in the Garden of Eden, he told Eve, God is holding out on you. God's lying to you. He's telling you that if you eat this fruit, you're going to die. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to die. He's lying to you. And she believed him. And she had the mind of the devil, not the mind of the Lord. And because she had the mind of the devil, it made sense to her to go ahead and partake of that fruit. But look what it cost her. Look what it cost us. The devil hates us. Keep that in mind. You turn your mind over to the devil, he will lead you into things that will destroy your life if he can. And so we have to be very, very careful what we do. Notice he says that every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. We need to constantly be purifying ourselves. Now, why? It is important to know why, because if you don't know why, it may be difficult for you to do it. But you see, the reason that we ought to do this, the reason that God tells us to live this way, is because it is the best way for us. You will find that life is better when you live in obedience. Life for the Christian is more productive when you live in obedience. Life for the Christian reaches people when you live in obedience. When you live in disobedience, everything begins to close in. And the plot is against you, not for you. Understand that the Bible says we are free. The devil would have you believe that you are captive to him and there's nothing you can do about that. I don't know how many people have told me there's things in my life I just can't quit doing. I just can't do it. That's straight from the devil. The devil is talking through them even at that time. When you accept defeat, you're defeated. Whenever you say, I can't do this, I can't overcome this, the devil has me and he won't let me go, I can't get free, then what you're doing is you're just buying into the lies of the devil, and it's totally wrong. Now let me show you that it's wrong. We are free. Mark it down. If you're a Christian, you're free from sin. Listen to what he says here in Romans 6, 6 through 14. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Underline that. That's important. When the devil starts telling you you can't get loose, there's nothing you can do to be turned loose, you remind him that he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now that's the truth, you see. We're free. You're free. You can leave here today completely free from sin, and the devil won't buy that. He's going to be telling you, oh no, you're not free. You're still my captive. I can still drag you into sin anytime I want to. And you're going to have to either have the mind of Christ or the mind of the devil. And it is important that we understand that the right way is able to be accomplished. The Lord has commanded that we sin not. He says, don't do that. If you love me, keep my commandments. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Keep my commandments, he says. We are filled with the Spirit. Now listen to this. You don't have to beg for the filling of the Spirit. You've already got the Spirit. The Spirit's going to speak to you. Every time you consider sin, the Spirit's going to tell you, don't do that. But it's a still small voice. And the devil uses a bullhorn. And so you have to listen very carefully to hear what the Lord says and then choose to do it his way. And his grace will overcome. Listen to Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, we are free because of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Now there's a little verse that you need to memorize. It's very simple. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't ever forget that. The devil can never take a Christian and force them to sin. He can lead us to sin, but he cannot force us to sin. You're free. And because you are free, and because you are filled, we are in fellowship with the Lord. Now listen to what he says here. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I want to stop right there. He says, look, Jesus is not part light and part dark and a little gray area in between. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I want you to know every Christian desires that. We would like to be totally light with no darkness. Amen? And then he's going to tell us how we accomplish that. Look what he says. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, how do we walk in the light? This is just another way of saying we choose to obey and let the mind of Christ control us rather than the mind of the devil. Every time you come upon a decision, and you will come upon many decisions even today, whenever you come upon a decision, there's going to be the voice of the Lord and the voice of the devil. One says do this, the other says do that. If we walk in the light, that means every time the Lord says, this is the way, walk in it, we do that, then we walk in the light. If we every once in a while say, I think I'll walk in the darkness for a while, then fellowship is gone with the Lord. Folks, the best way to live our lives is in absolute, continual fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ by absolute, continual obedience to the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we can do that. God has set us free, and it is absolutely possible for us to live that way. Now, the reality of the situation, verses 4 through 8 of our text says this. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen to what he's saying here. You say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I can't do the works of the devil. Well, you need to read Romans 6:15. He says, know you not that to whomsoever you yield yourself service to obey, his servant you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You see, we have a choice. And that choice must be used for righteousness, not for wickedness. The devil uses everything. This whole thing of liberty is a ploy of the devil to try to lead us into sin. And God says, you're going to destroy yourself. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to break fellowship with me. Your life is going to be in turmoil. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be blessed. You may think that everything is going to be hunky-dory if you live in your own way, but it's going to close in on you, and you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be joyful. You're going to be completely defeated. But if you walk in the light as he's in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It don't get any better than that. You see, you want to be free from sin, it's a very simple thing. Start obeying one step at a time. You see, we can't just pick and choose where we use God's grace. That's where people make the mistake. I want to be free from this sin, I want to be free from that sin, but don't mess with this sin. You go that route, you have no grace. But when you begin with the first decision, whatever it is, you get out of bed in the morning, you have a decision, you can either be grumpy or you can be pleasant. You can be this or you can be that. You make the right decision every step of the way. And you let the mind of Christ rule in your life. And what you're going to find is that you will never outrun the grace of God. Because if you make all the decisions according to God's revelation of what you ought to do, then you will never come to a place where you don't know what you ought to do. God will direct you in every aspect of your life until you say no and go the wrong way. You see, sometimes we mess up in our pride, in our selfishness, and whatever, way early in the morning. Even. We get up, we hadn't had our coffee yet, somebody says something to us, and we fly off the handle. See, we shot the day right there. It's all wrong. You say, well, wait a minute, how are you supposed to overcome that? I promise you, every time the Holy Spirit say, don't do that. Don't do that. Take my grace, live for me. And if we do that, it's much better. God knows what he's doing in our lives. Sin's for sinners, folks. Don't ever forget that. Sin's not for us. Listen to what John chapter 8, verse 42 through 44 says. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now understand, when you're dealing with the devil, you're on dangerous ground. I don't care what it is. If it's pride, if it's a mean spirit, whatever it is, when we begin to let the devil lead us, we are on dangerous ground, because he will lead us into a pit if he can. He will do whatever he can to destroy us. And so the Lord says, look, sin's for sinners. It's not for Christians. Don't ever think that it is all right for you to ever sin one time. Now get that. It doesn't matter whether it's a slip of the tongue, whether it's an evil thought, whatever, it is always wrong. God's will for the Christian is that you live in absolute obedience to his word, in sinless perfection. And any deviation from that is going to hurt you, because the devil would just love to get his hands on you. Now I want you to see that sanctification is for the saved, not sin. Whenever we become Christians, the Lord has a plan for us. Christians are not going to have a problem being sanctified if they desire to do that. Understand that. One of the first steps of sanctification is understanding the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. You see, as long as you believe the lie that you have no choice, why, you've sinned and that's it, the devil's got you. You've already got hooked in this sin and you can't get out of it. As long as you believe that, you're hooked. But whenever you say, wait a minute, God says I'm free and I believe him, I don't ever have to do this again, I don't ever have to go back to the old way, then you're free. See, as you believe in your heart, that's what living by faith is all about. If you believe that you are captured by some sin, then you're captured by that sin. But when you believe what God says, rather than believing what the devil says, you're free. God says you're free. And folks, it's time for us to live free. We don't need to be captured anymore. We don't need to ever yield ourselves to the devil ever again. And life is sweet when we obey God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 says this. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. You see that? What's he saying with that? As you learn how to obey God, the devil's going to come up with new tricks, and he may trip you up. But you keep on stretching out how long you go without sin. More and more and more you live in obedience. If you can't make it but 20 minutes before the devil figures out another way to trip you up, then you confess that to the Lord and you go as long as you can again. You see, there is no defeat until we claim it. We may get a setback, but we're going to win the battle. And we need to be always on our guard. Verse 2 says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now understand, the people who promise you liberty say you can do whatever you want to do. Now that you're a Christian, you can do anything you want to do. Just doesn't matter what you do. Let me tell you, all they're doing is pulling you into bondage. Because sin always brings bondage. Amen? Freedom is where it's at. It is not in living our lives to do whatever sin we can do, but it's living our lives to see how far we can get from sin. The Spirit is the one that works salvation. The Spirit is the one that also works sanctification. And He will guide us decision by decision if we choose to let Him do that. John 3:3-8 says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Understand, when you get saved, it is not you that works salvation. It's the Holy Spirit in you. Whenever you receive Christ as your Savior, He makes an offer of complete redemption, of complete salvation. He paid in full all of the sin debt, and He says, if you will call upon me, if you will put your trust in me, I will save you to the uttermost. And we say, Lord, I need that. What I need is a Savior. Then He saves us, and He sets us free. You know, a lot of times people miss salvation because they try too hard. And they say, look, Lord, if you'll just save me, I promise you, I'm going to start living for you. Where's faith? Faith is in the living. You can't mix grace and works. Can't do it. It's all about grace. And whenever the Lord sets us free, we're free indeed. Now, the next thing I want you to see is the revealing of this. How does it all work out? Verses 9 through 10 is very important. Been misunderstood, I believe, a lot. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In seminary, I was taught that what this verse is really saying is that you're not going to just keep on continuing in sin. But you see, what we're missing there is the word cannot. It is not possible for us to sin. You say, wait a minute, that's not true. You see, so many times, if we fail to understand a passage, we want to change it to something we can understand. But the truth is, what he's talking about here is our spirit. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The only part of me that was born again was my dead spirit. And that part of me is sealed until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30, and it cannot sin because it's born of God. That is, I've been set free. I'm going to go to heaven because that spirit never, ever participates in sin once I have received Christ as my Savior. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Now, the same sealing that I have causes in me to be able to live for Jesus, because the Holy Spirit that is in my spirit permeates my soul as I choose to allow that to happen. God is the one that works salvation. It is revealed in me as I choose to obey God. Listen to this. The Bible says we are light. Sometimes I don't feel like light, do you? Sometimes I feel like darkness walking around, but the truth is, we are light. Listen to what he says, Matthew 5:14-16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's that word again, let. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this light shine. If you're going to reveal Jesus to the world, you're going to have the mind of Christ. And you're going to have to let that light shine. You know how we let that light shine? And people say, well, you got to take the bushel off your light. Well, how do you do that? Make it very simple. The next time the devil says you ought to sin, you say no. You say, no, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus says. And your light's going to shine. Now you say, well, will everybody love me if my light shines? No. Jesus said, they're going to hate you because they hate me. When you start shining, you start looking like Jesus, they're going to hate you too. But you know what? I'd rather be hated for Jesus than love for the world. Because there is tremendous joy and tremendous freedom in loving the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him. You see, whenever we choose to live in obedience, we have the joy unspeakable, full of glory. Paul says we are counted as the offscouring of the world. We're depressed on every hand. But in all this, we're more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. We have freedom in Christ to go through whatever we have to go through. You know why? Because we're loved. God loves us. Listen to what he says here, Romans 5, 6 through 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were sinners, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now notice what he says here. The powerful God who has redeemed us and lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet on the solid rock, that same God is able to work in us to reveal himself to the world. He loves us. Listen, when you sin, God is not mad at you. God is compassionate towards you because you've fallen back in the quicksand and he has to come and lift you out again. So many times we want to hide from God because we say we have sinned and God is angry with us. Just like Adam, when God came to talk with Adam, he knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to come out. He said, where are you? He said, I'm over here hiding in the bushes because I was naked and I was afraid. You see, God gives us the story of the prodigal son so that we might know how he looks at us when we sin. The prodigal son thought he could run his life better than God. That's the mistake we all make, isn't it? I can choose for myself better than you can choose for me. And we say, boy, that man's going to get in trouble. And he did. As a matter of fact, every time he made a choice, he lost his freedom to choose. And it just kept closing in on him and closing in on him until finally the only choice he had was to eat husk that he was going to feed to the pigs. And the Bible says he came to himself. He said, I know, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, I know my dad's just going to wear me out when I go home. And I know he's not going to want to accept me back. But I'm just going to go in there with a white flag and I'm going to say, I have sinned before heaven and in your sight and I'm not worthy to be called your son. I understand that. But please just let me be a servant. Because the servants here eat better than I was eating. And so he goes back. But before we ever got there, and God puts this in there just for us, the Father saw him coming. You know what that tells me? Every day he was out there looking for him. My son gonna come home one of these days. He's gonna get enough of that living. He's gonna get enough of being out there and hurting and struggling. And he's gonna come home. And when he saw him coming, he ran to meet him and threw his arms around his neck, and he said, "Kill the fatted calf, bring the best robe and put on him. Put shoes on his feet." This my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. You see, God loves us. The devil hates us. And so when we make our choice, the next time we choose, keep that in mind. The one that's saying, "Oh, come on, it won't hurt anything." As soon as you get done sinning, you can confess it. God will forgive you. Understand who you're dealing with. Somebody who hates you. He's not telling you the truth. He's trying to destroy you. And then you hear that little voice saying, "Don't go there. Just walk away from that." That's the one that loves you. Follow him. You see, it's all up to us. All up to us. The Bible says we are to love one another. John 13, 34 and 35 says this: "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I believe that one of the things that we need to do desperately is to pray for one another when we see somebody stumble. You know, somebody said that the Christian church is the only army that shoots their wounded. When somebody falls into sin, rather than helping them up, so many times we just want to gossip about them. That's not what God's called us to. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if any of you be overtaken in a fault, let he that is spiritual among you restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering himself, lest he also be tempted." You see, that tells us that our purpose is always restoration. You know why? That's God's purpose. God's purpose is always restoration. It is never punishment. God wants us to help one another because we love one another. When somebody falls, we need to understand the devil figured out a way to trip them up. Let's go get them up. And you know, every sin that is possible to mankind is in the sinful nature of every one of us. God says, don't judge one another, because you that judge do the same thing. First time I read that, I said, I don't think that's right. I don't steal. I don't kill. That's not true. I don't do that. But you know what? God reminded me, if I take my grace off of you, you'll see what's in there. Because without God's grace, we're just sin machines. We are absolutely dependent upon the grace of God. And so that ought to be a motivation to love one another. You know, put yourself in the position of that father. Somebody hurts your feelings. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody abandons you. All those things. Put yourself in the position of that father. You just keep in your mind, one of these days, I'm going to be reconciled to that person. And I'm going to pray every day that that takes place. And if there's anything that I can do to help that take place, I'm going to do that. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to love them. And when we do that, we can hurry them back. Now let me challenge you with something. Even before the sun goes down today, the devil is going to try to tempt you to sin. Amen? Probably several times. I want to challenge you. The next time you get an offer of sin, you listen for God's instruction. And you say, "Not this time, devil. Not this time. I'm going to follow Jesus." And the next time he offers sin, then you do it again. But you know what the Bible says? If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little something. He doesn't stay gone long. He's coming back. So don't think it's over. But he will run. And whenever he comes back, he begins to whisper in your ear, and all of a sudden that's sounding real good, because you see, our sinful nature agrees with the devil. And we say, well, let me listen to this. This sounds pretty good. And then you hear the Holy Spirit say, don't go there. Then you walk away from it. And you begin to practice letting the mind of Christ control you, not the mind of the devil. You see, we think we have a mind of our own, but the truth is we're either controlled by the devil or we're controlled by the Lord, depending on whether we give in to this or we give in to that. And the Bible says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now I want to speak to those of you that are lost this morning. Hell waits for unredeemed sinners. Jesus died on the cross to save every one of us. Every one of us. He didn't leave anybody out. Even the people who go to hell, Jesus paid the penalty for their sins. But you know what? He said, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that repentance that he's talking about is repentance from dead works and faith toward God. If this morning you know in your heart that if you were to die, you'd go to hell, I want you to know Jesus is standing here with open arms, saying, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's what you need this morning. Now the devil's going to be whispering in your ear. He's going to be saying, oh, just ignore that. You get outside, this will all go away. Just completely ignore it. And he's right. It'll be just like those seeds that were sown by the wayside and on stony ground, and the birds come and snatch it away. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's not your friend, because he wants you to go to hell. He'll say, well, look, you'd be embarrassed to go down there to the front and tell everybody you're lost. It's going to be more embarrassing standing before the great white throne. He's going to say, what are you doing here without a wedding garment? Now let me tell you what you need to do. When the music starts, don't hesitate. Make your way down here to the front. Show a little backbone. Say, I need Jesus. I'll take it from there. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, you obey him this morning. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your promise that your word will never return to you void, but it will accomplish that for which you sent it. And Lord, I thank you for what the word means in my own life. And Lord, I pray that you would set free everyone that is in bondage this morning. Those that are lost, Lord, save them by your grace. Those that are saved but have struggled and have wandered away from you, Lord, I pray that you would set them free. And Lord, I pray that you would cause us all to always choose to walk in the light, and that we might always yield our members as instruments of righteousness to you and not to the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.